Pray, Heavenly Father, we're again very privileged people to know the truth of the fact of your appearing amongst us in this last day. We know that many people, not with bad intention, Lord, maybe with the very best intention, sincere, godly, trying to be everything you want to be, muddle the issue, darken the question very greatly by denying it outright or trying to put it in some other area when your own word said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. We know, Lord, that you have come down. Whatever that means, then you weren't there before. You're here now, Lord. We don't try to second guess it, Lord, try to get double meanings. We just know that your word said that you came down with a shout, which was a message. We know, Lord, that if you are your own prophet and manifested it, that Elijah this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, then there's no doubt that you are your own preacher, your own teacher, your own apostle, your own judge. You are all of these things, Lord, and they have been steadily brought to our attention that all in all is here. We don't understand it thoroughly, Lord, but we believe it. And we thank you, Father, that we have come to the place where we can believe it. And we know, Lord, that our faith must be quite well grounded, at least with this understanding that we have to renew our minds by the Word. And if we're denominational trained, if we have our minds in that groove, we know that we're wrong. So, Lord, we know that we never were taught anything like this, didn't have anything ever given to us like this. So we believe, Lord, that at least we're on the right track in this respect. And since, Lord, we also know it's been vindicated, we know it is you. And so we thank you, Lord, that we have some relationship at this hour, believing, O God, that that relationship is one of sonship, identification with you. Help us in our study tonight, Lord, to glorify your name, because that is the purpose of being here. Instruct us in righteousness. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're not going to take any time in a review or a preview, because that can be last Sunday's message. All we're going to do is go right back to paragraph 209 and see how rapidly we can progress. So now in this age is when the old denominational and traditional veil has been rent from the Word of God so it can be manifest. In other words, in plain English, the whole Bible today has been interpreted very thoroughly through the understanding that has come forth over the years and has been accepted, at least if not in every circle, in some of the circles, to be the proper interpretation or understanding of the Word of God. And Brother Branham said that has become a veil, so that people taking their doctrine, which they have been trained in as the standard of interpretation, they're in no wise able to grasp what is going on. Now listen, you see what I mean? Now here's what he says, watch that veil now. Their tradition says, all those things are past. Now what things are past? Well, you see, you can let your mind skip back and say, well, I'll try to figure it. Don't figure, just read on. But in this, let that soak up, the things are past. But in this day, that traditional veil has been rent, and here stands the pillar of fire. Hogwash. See? Nobody with a traditional background is going to accept that. There's no need for it. There's no room for it. It just doesn't fit in. See, there's no place for it. Who needs a pillar of fire? We're doing very well without it. We who claim to believe it, minimal. The great Billy Graham, the great Oral Roberts, why, they're cutting wood 50 cords a minute, baling hay like feed all the cattle in the world, shucking corn and bringing it in late. There'll never be a famine. See what tradition does? But in this last day, the traditional veil has been rent apart, and here stands the pillar of fire. Now, he must have meant it. He must have seen it there, like we see in the picture. See? Here he is, man. Now, what's this pillar of fire doing? Here he is manifesting the word for this day. Oh, they say, come on now. The veil is rent. Now the world still doesn't believe it. Now, where does he put the denominations? In the world. See, they're the world. No matter what, they don't see it. Well, they're a cosmos. They're in order. Let's face it. You can't get away from there in order. They don't see. It wasn't sent to them. So it wouldn't do them any good if they didn't see. That's like you take your kids uptown, great big Christmas tree there with all kinds of bags of candy, and they say, well, this is for somebody else. So what's it good for the kids to see the Christmas tree and all the goodies? It's the more they see, the more they're going to be held accountable for. So God in his mercy is letting them be blinded. We'll see that later. Remember, the Son of God was not revealed to Sodom. That's a nasty crack. Do you know that he chose the whole world into Sodom? I mean, let's just wait a while. I'll show you how that's accurate. More so than you think. I suppose you're thinking, though, it's all right. That's where the two messengers were. That's right. But this God himself, in human flesh, was revealed to Abraham. He represents elected. And watch what he did to reveal himself. Now, Abraham knew, and when he knew, that's God, Abraham knew that God knew what was in Sarah's thoughts, and Sarah behind him in the tent. He called him Elohim. See? Thy servant. In other words, he's using this as the illustration, as the definitive, basic, identification for Elohim. Notice now, so it can be manifested. The word had a veil over it all these years to the people. It can't be done. Now, you could take that more than one way, perhaps, there. You could say, well, Brother Branham said God is hid to be revealed, so therefore the word had a veil on it, and the purpose of that was to have it as a covering so the word could manifest. Now, that's not true with the denominations, because when that veil stays upon the denominational heart, they can't see it, because it's like Israel. There's no way you can see it. So as you notice now, so it can be manifested. He's just bringing the thought up. It's going to be manifested. Now, he said, the word had a veil over it all these years to the people, and the veil was, it can't be done. Now, let's face it. You're looking at the pillar of fire. You're looking at a prophet. You're looking at God doing today what he did centuries ago, and they say there's no need for it. And then they say it can't be done. Now, they don't realize they're limiting God and telling God that there's no way God can do what God wants to do in the face of what they want God to do. Now, I don't know if they're that ribald or not, or that ridiculous. When you get drunk on your own whiskey and your own revelation of wine that you've been brewing all these years, you can make some pretty horrible statements in the face of God. And you just don't put it past denomination, but, you know, then you don't impute it to him either unless it's really there. Well, they say it can't be done. Now, he's going to illustrate from his own life. If you remember the sermon I preached the morning when I left here the first time about Goliath and David, I said, look at the challenger out there saying that the days of miracles is past. You see? Watch those tapes as they come down. Watch each one now, how it's come in plainer and plainer. Now, the big premise here is, they don't believe that we're going back to literally a Bible presentation of an interpretation. They don't believe that. They don't believe in the necessity of the pillar of fire and God moving the way he once used to do it. See? They don't believe in a prophet that God would send, not as simply the epitomization of this, although it is, but the actual form that God would use and produce this all in and bring it to a people, as they well know is how it was done. Now, he said, you'll see this is plainer and plainer as the tapes come down, and this is where your faith stands. We brought it up before, that if you don't see this in your spiritual understanding, acquiescing to it, pinning your faith on it, you are not a believer. Now, the denomination said, now, hey, you can't sell us that bill of goods because that stinks. Don't tell me that all these lovely folk aren't believers. Now, they believe something, but if you believe the wrong thing. Have you ever walked up to somebody else's car that looked just like yours and tried to give it your key? Sure, I've done it. How is a believer? I believe it was my car. Wasn't my car. All the believing in the Word, brother, sister, doesn't change anything. That's why faith is built upon a true revelation of a true God and a true Word. Or the Word. So, come on. A little psychology. You could work a lot of psychology, mind over matter, cooeyism, and all that sort of stuff. I can understand that, but, you know, let's face it, you're not dealing with God then. You're dealing with something else. It's come in plainer and plainer, you see? Especially John 15 and 24 with the pillar of fire. John 15, 24, if I had not done the works of the men, did he not sin? But now they've both seen and hated both me and my father. I did not realize until just within the last week or two that Brother Branham used that scripture. I've used it for the last several years as my basic. I never realized he'd ever used it, but he used it. And it defines his ministry. Now watch. If you have ears to hear and eyes to see, watch. I said, there stands a great ecclesiastical, it's a domination of the world out there, say in this scientific age that it cannot be done. But I said, God in that light, for it was ever taken, that means the picture, the ones, never was taken then, down the river. They didn't take the picture down there. Never took the picture, see. He told me it would be done. What's going to be done? He would make a call and it would sweep the nations. Now that's what was told him. And even Dr. Davis said, you with the grammar school education, passed into seventh grade, will be praying for kings and monarchs and start a revival to sweep the nations? I said, that's what he said. See? Let me see here. Matthew 10, 26, 27. Fear not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Now that can tell you right there that you better believe that if you have something that you're talking about isn't real, it isn't true, be sure your sins will find you out, your lies will find you out. But he also says, what I tell you in darkness, I speak in light. What you hear in the ear, that's like the Holy Spirit agitating your auditory nerve, or someone whispering to you, like a voice, that preach you upon the housetops. Now, that's the commission given to the apostles. It was the same commission to Brother Branham. The same as came to Moses when God spoke. The same as came to Paul. And nobody else heard the voice. Only Paul heard it. Brother Branham said only Paul saw the light. That's debatable by the denominations. They say the people saw the light. They heard a rumble but didn't understand what the voice said. Well, I would sooner believe a prophet. He said they didn't see the light and they didn't hear. All right, but what did Paul do? Same like Moses. He came and told the people. See? Now people don't believe that. Now Brother Branham said, well, look at my case. I came and told Dr. Davis, I came and told people, and they said, no way. Why they said you gotta be in link with the devil somewhere. Because you see, God just doesn't do this. Now, who told them that God didn't do it? What do they find in Scripture that God said He wouldn't do it? You see, once you start drawing conclusions like the fundamentalist has, this is the plenary edition. This is the full edition. See? Nothing can be added to or taken from it. So therefore, we don't need anybody. All we got to do is preach this word, be born again, and you're sitting pretty. See, that's what they try to tell you. Well, just what if they're preaching it wrong?
Right. Amen.
Now, you see, you've got 2,000 years of history amongst us Gentiles that prove that statement. They can be preached wrong. Now, if it's really preached right and everybody was tuned in, how come the Mormons preach what they preach, Seventh-day Adventists what they preach, Jehovah's Witnesses, what they preach, Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, Church Without Christ, most of them are anyway, you name it. See? Something wrong somewhere. Now look, common sense would tell them that. But as one person said, how uncommon is common sense? And it's been done, see? See, it's been done. And that's the thing of it is, he doesn't need any interpretation, he's done it. See, he's already done it. That interprets itself, see, calling his elected, see, from all walks of life. Now it's made manifest. All right, right there he tells you that he has been chosen with the word based upon supernatural manifestation to be the chosen one to come to the elect. Now he's laying it out there. Now, Brother Branham said when Eve messed up in the garden, all nature was interrupted. And when William Branham came on the scene, the denominations were interrupted. And a big mouth outfit does not like interruption. Especially when the man can back up what he said. Now, you can see why in Brother Branham's early ministry, when this was marked as the evidence around the world that God has spoken to him, everything coming into line exactly as the prophet said, the denominations were duty-bound to close it up and shut it off. And we'll see that as we get down a little further. I said that David came and stood out there, a little bitty scrawny fellow with his back all bowed in, a slingshot in his hand, and bowed in, and I saw, looked at him, and the head of the ministerial association said, "Why, you're not even trained." And he said, "Let me see if I can give you a PhD or something." Put this armor on him and found out it didn't fit a man of God. He said, "Take that thing off of me." He said, "I don't know anything about that." He said, "Let me go in the way that I know, what I fought the lion with, what I fought the bear with." He was the kind of a woodsman. He said, "Let me go in that way." This old Goliath said, "Do you send a dog out to fight me? I'll pick you up on the end of my spear and hang your carcass up there and let the birds eat it." Now you're noticing here the big sneer. The big sneer and the big scorn. That's the first weapon that people employ. And the churches especially, because they haven't got any power. So therefore they will use political power, the force of the numbers that they have, the power they exert over the press, their financial status, their social status, all of those things they will use like the Pharisees, and they say, "Well, did you see any of us believe that bird? Why, Nicodemus, you are a great man. I am surprised." Here's peer pressure coming on now. First, the big scorn. "You're a stupid jerk, not even get through grade 7 and do a good job. Kings are going to listen to you." That's what he said. And that's what happened. Now the other's got to come behind and pull the other deal. You can see it's a losing battle, except for what? Oh, the election. The elect lady there, nobody's going to believe. The big sneer is one of the big things. That's why your kids get messed up all the time in school. You can pull them out of school, you're smart to pull them out of school in this day. Well, there's a few good teachers, but not very many. And what few good teachers you got are overrun by the stoops that are around them. The lackadaisical school board. Your ministerial assassination. To think you're crazy if you don't want the girls to wear slacks and little halters and kind of crud like that. Why, you're supposed to do that. You're not normal. Yeah, a little bit of job for persuading God and judging the deity. Talk their way out of hell and that one. Don't think they got much chance. David said, "You meet me as a Philistine with an arm and a spear, and I'll meet you in the name of the Lord God of Israel." See, that's Deuteronomy 18. That's the prophet. What's the prophet? See, that's the prophet in David. He wasn't full-fledged prophet because he was a dual in there. Oh, he's full enough fledged, but you and I mean he was a prophet king-like. It was a, he had, and then when there was a prophet in the land, he had to step down. When Nathan was there, he had to come under Nathan. So he was just, he was in there in a way that God was typing him in. "Today I'll cut your head from off your shoulders." Amen. Oh my, he knew what he had, whom he believed, and was fully persuaded. He was able to keep that which he had promised. See, it happened anyhow. The old saying, "The days of miracles is past." Now what miracles? Well, this is the Exodus. He's talking about Moses. He's talking about the unveiling of God. God demonstrating who he is. Not to a people who are already one with God. No. But always where there was a drift. As in Moses' time and Elijah's time. If God be God, serve him. Old fellow said, "Look," he said, this stuff about God met you up in the desert. He said, "What, you must think I'm crazy." Well, he said, "We got gods here. We'd back your God off the map." So Moses threw down the rod and he turned into a snake. And Pharaoh says, "Hot stuff." He said, "I got magicians that can do that." He said, "Jannes and Jambres, come over here." They came over. He said, "Show that fella a thing or two." They threw the staves down, and lo and behold, what happened? They turned into snakes too. And they said, "But Moses' snake came along and ate their snakes." That's quite a scintillating experience. Well, you think that old Pharaoh would have got really jarred? He didn't get jarred at all. Well, he said, "You win some, you lose some." He had enough, to do with his gods and what he wanted. He had a lot of power. He wasn't really too concerned about Moses. That's the best Moses could do. Who cared about Moses? Moses had abroad in a great big army. If that had been the days of Alexander the Great, Pharaoh would have still been running. But he just came down there, one-man army, as Brother Branham said, the woman seated on a mule and the two young ones on her hips. snorting things through the desert, going down to take over Egypt. Well, as one person said, God and one man and God always, you know, did comprise the majority. Days of miracles past, he said, the wall's torn down. Now listen, Jehovah stands in full view, manifesting his word, unveiled one, that's right. He's manifested in signs and in wonders, and the word of God in the mouth of the prophet being thoroughly vindicated before the people. Notice, the Gentile church also has been blinded from the veil. All right, now we're talking about the Gentiles, running our parallel through the Exodus and the unveiling of God as it was in the time of Moses and now in Abraham and so on. All right, blinded from the veil. After it's been tore off and showed God the ecclesiastical veil. Now, what they're going to do is to attempt to interpret what has been going on in this hour by their own judgments and by their own little black books, and it won't work. Now, you've got to come up with one of three. Either you say it is God, it is not God, or you don't know. Now, let's face it, those that don't know are going to be too late. And those that say it's the devil have blasphemed, and they'll never get out of it. There's no way. All right? By veiling the word in human being again. Now, he doesn't say even a human being, he says in human being. That's exactly what Israel failed to see. Now, he's bringing you to the point that's crucial. The prophet. The use of a man. That's why I said a while ago that I believe that we missed terribly the tremendous position of a human being. We miss the exaltation, and I don't think that's too bad a word to use, or the exalting, that's the right word, the exalting of a human being by God. That's what Israel failed to see. If it would have been some angel or something, Israel would have believed it. But being it could not be an angel, it had to be a man. Amen. God can't break his word. In the last days, it has to be the same thing again. See? So let's watch that. Has to be the same thing again. Now that's going to be the stumbling block. See, what blinded Israel? That man. You're a man making yourself God. Now in that particular case, he was God. He didn't make himself God. God made him God. He was God, human flesh. Now William Branham, that's a different story. William Branham is not God per se. But he is a man making himself God to the people. God made him that. That's what they killed him for. And today, because the message comes through man and not angels. See? God can't change his way, change his word. He said he changed not. Now, you go to Malachi 3 and 6. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, if it weren't for the fact that God does not change, and does it this way, if it weren't for this fact now, there wouldn't be one of us that didn't burn. Now, we may come up in a second resurrection, but the very word of God would be aborted. Say, why? Because this is how God does it. Amen. Now, that's the thing that nobody wants to, to come in line with. They have their own ideas about how it should be done. But you cannot listen to yourself. See, notice Thomas and the Gentiles are just as blinded today as Israel was. Because what? The veil. God veiled any human being. Blinded Israel. Notice, one it will blind, to the other it will reveal the truth. It'll close the eyes of some and open the eyes of others. What percentage? Very, very small. Look, Jesus stood and said, well, your name is Simon, your father's name is Jonas. He said, Lord God. See, Philip, he said, how did you know? Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. He said, Rabbi, when did you know me? He said, before Philip called you and you were under the tree, I saw you. He said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. Now, he's using this to show you how quickly these people, in their simplicity, grasped this truth. But there stood those and said, he's Beelzebub. See, what did it do? Opened one's eyes, blinded the other. What did the priest say? Why, that guy's Beelzebub. Now, over in Matthew 12, verse 22, they brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. He healed him, insomuch the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people amazed said, is not this the Son of David? Isn't this the Messiah we're looking for? You see, in other words, they were pleased to find such a person as this, unwarlike, not trying to take over a kingdom, but bringing spiritual reality and dealing with their everyday problems. Now, this would not suit rulers. Anything that rules, except theocratically, which is by the Word of God, in all submission and abasement, is of the devil. Ruling is not of God. In fact, the key to being great in the kingdom of God is he was the greatest of all, a servant of all. Now, these rulers couldn't take it. The people could take it, because they were satisfied with this. See, is this not the son of David? When the Pharisees heard that, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They said, no, he's not the son of David, he's the other fellow. He's the Antichrist. Now, don't think for one minute the Jews do not believe in Antichrist, because they do. They have their own formula as to how he's going to come. One day we'll get around to playing the Ask the Red Heifer and you'll find it. Just haven't had time yet. We'll get there, though. Don't worry. Now, the little woman said, I know Messiah is coming, which is called the Anointed One. That's what Messiah is, anointed. The Anointed One will come. We haven't had prophets. You must be a prophet. But the Anointed One will come. We're looking for him. This is the last days for the Jews. Said, this is the last day. See, both Samaritan Jews were looking for Messiah. Now, he's dealing with the two groups. This is the time for him to appear. We know when he comes, he'll do these things. He'll tell these things. Now, if he did those things and he's appearing, and Matthew 4 and Matthew 12 are correct, and in the form of the Holy Spirit, he will come to the Gentiles, then he will appear amongst them, and it'll be that same little insignificant sign that people say, well, you got to be a fortune teller. You got to be a spiritist. You got to be a mind reader. Maybe you're into telepathy. But we don't believe that that's the genuine sign, because we just wouldn't take that. Now, that's okay for... Now, look, you know what they do? They say, Peter was a great man. Hallelujah. And you know, Philip was a great man. Hallelujah. Thomas went to India and died. Oh, praise God. And that little woman at the well, you know. Oh, my. Well, they must have been a bunch of jerks. Because all it took was a little simple thing like that. Now, you listen, just let your minds go and realize how people are. Don't put any faith in them, brother, sister. Get away from that nonsense. Don't listen to anybody. Get to the Word here. You haven't got a chance. You're not smart. There's none of us here smart. Sir, you haven't got it. You see, people vacillate. They just swing so quickly. Denying. See? None of those people disbelieve God in the sense that there was a God. Nobody said, hey, there's no such thing as God. No. See? They couldn't take it though. This is the time for him to appear. We know when he comes, he'll do these things. He'll tell us these things. He said, I'm he. Her eyes were opened, the priests were blinded. That's what the gospel always does. It opens the eyes of some, reveals the truth to some, while it blinds the others. Has a twofold meaning. A twofold fulfillment. Taken from, I'll bring my son out of Egypt. Brought up Jacob, and the children brought up Jesus Christ. See? Some can take that son and look straight into it and go blind. Others can take it, walk out, and walk out with it. The difference. As it was done in every age, deity veiled in human flesh. Notice, he did. The prophets were deity veiled. In other words, the prophets were the veil of deity, making them God veiled to the people. God using them as a veil, consequently, it was veiled to the denominationals. And you've got a lot of people in this message who can't go that far. You notice over the years I've been very, very, very careful. And you notice I'm letting my guard down more and more and more all the time. You say, one day you'll make Brother Branham God. No way. If I made him God, I'd pray for him. I'd pray to him, use his name, everything else. I'm not about to. But to give him what the Bible says is due him, and he being backed up by God all of his life, and God is not somebody who's lost his integrity. And if God sent an evil spirit to fool people, it's strange he botched it, because very, very few are fooled. So no matter how you cut it, and how you look at it, it holds with the Word of God. There's no way you can get away from this, brother. Said, look, in other words, you aren't, it is not incumbent upon you to produce anything, just believe. You won't have to produce anything. We'll get to that later on, too. More of that. The Lord will bring to my mind. Don't worry. They were the Word of God. Is that right? Veiled in human flesh. That's right. So they didn't notice our Moses either. See? Jesus. In other words, they couldn't take Moses. They couldn't take Jesus. They couldn't take Paul. They can't take anybody. That's what Jesus said. That's what happened. Israel, we're just like him. Behind the old temple in the veil, what was behind there? What was Jehovah? What was hid back there? What was the veil hiding? Oh, hallelujah. What was the veil hiding? It was hiding the Word. Now, written on tables of stone, put in the Ark of the Covenant, set behind the veil, right? And God came over the mercy seat. And God came over the Word to stand guard over the Word. See? All right. The veil, old badger skins, was hiding the Word to their eyes, natural. Behind there also was a showbread. Right there was. Behind there also was the Shekinah glory. That's the Hebrew word for that. That's not in the Bible. Shekinah glory is not in the Bible. You can't find it. No way. But it's real. It means the glory that's attendant upon the personal presence of God. Take a look at the picture. The Shekinah was there. The showbread was there. The Shekinah was there. But it was all hidden from them. It was all hidden. All the glory of God. The full assessment of God. The complete word, the complete testimony, all of it, was right behind that old badger skin. That's right. All hidden to the natural eye. Now what if he came in this form of his son Jesus Christ? Was hidden. What if he came in a prophet? Was hidden. Now watch, all hid back there. It is today also. Now you watch right here and be very careful. It's called a bunch of holy rollers, fanatics. Now, Brother Branham has gone from the singular to the plural, and don't you believe it. Because there's no such thing as a body ministry. He sends one. Now, you tell me what's behind the bunch. It's very simple. 2 Corinthians, that third chapter. It says, but we, verse 18, we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We're behind the veil. Are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And the next verse, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. The people don't have the ministry. Paul had the ministry. William Branham had the ministry. Now what's veiled in the bride? The word is veiled in the bride that the prophet gave, but that's a far cry from her being a prophet or having to do with it. Now, I'm glad you're over here. Look at us go again. Same thing today when you see his work. Now we've already seen witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, appearing and coming, two different words. To appear, then to come. Now is he appearing, already appeared in these last days. Now I better read above there. See, they had a testimony, they'd seen the Lord, and the others didn't believe, and he upbraided them because of their hearts and their heart. They didn't believe. These people had seen that he was not dead. Now, he talks about them in the plural. But down below, when he talks about himself as the prophet, he said, I want you to know this is true, and you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say this about myself, seeing a fact and message. I have no more to do with it, nothing. No more than just the voice, and my voice. He didn't say their voice, he said mine. Now, here's where you gotta watch Brother Branham very carefully, or you get thrown a curve right in this sermon. First of all, you'll think that Brother Branham is saying, I am God, period. I'm God. Now listen to this, and you'll find him saying, hey, all you folk, you can get it too. And why do you say, stay away from that pillar of fire? Don't break in where you don't belong. Just be nice, fine, good people. See, watch. Watch the language. What it means. There's no way he can be telling you and me that you and I can get anything outside of him or he is not necessary. Let one person get it outside of William Branham, then God must do it for every single person according to what William Branham said. For if God did it that way to one man, then he's obligated to do it all the rest of the way. Okay. It's called a bunch of holiness fanatics, but they don't know what's hidden behind there, see? That's right, they don't know it, see? This brings you to the point that I've been talking about that bottle of rocks
where the water's poured in, you've got to take the rocks out. How do the rocks come out? By getting out what we have naturally and letting come in what he gives us supernaturally. And what is it? It's that spirit-filled word. Always go back to the word. It's piled word upon word upon word until you're full of the word, which is full of the Holy Ghost. Revealed word will do that job, whether you believe or not. It's the only hope we have, brother, sister. The day of spiritual gymnastics and is out, is over. Same now. See? I'll read 2:38. Then when God in mercy rent the veil for them to see, they were so wrapped up in their traditions, it was still hid to them, and is even so to this day. That's Israel. Same now, Gentiles. The glory, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory that comes upon the believer, now I mean the real believer, that causes the works of God and the faith to come into him to believe the word of God. All right, now just a minute. We don't believe the word of God because we don't have the word to believe. Now the prophet has the word and he believes the word. See? Now when it comes to us, we'll believe. That's fine, we'll get it. But we're not going to do those works. We'll only do that which lies within our various ministries and gifts. A little peripheral thing, so to speak. See? To believe the word of God. That's all hid to their eyes. They say these things are past. You see, they're still living behind the veil. You're not behind that veil anymore, little ones. God's come into full view of you. How? Through an understanding by a vindicated word that supersedes all your taught word. All the books you researched. The other day, Brother Fred Sobb and Brother Tom Simpson, I don't know whether he's here or not, service up at the Baptist church. The minister said something sounded pretty good. We all said amen. Everybody in the church stretched up their necks and looked around. See? We found a crumb that came forth and behind the Shekinah there, you know, and was kind of glad to get it. We said, in other words, thank you, Lord. See? And when they did, these fellows were so veiled, they just laughed at us. They didn't know it was all about. See? They're still veiled. So there's some inside and some outside. But, not about us. God's in full view of us, hid. The seals are open. Nothing left. Say now. Then when God in his mercy rent the veil, he was brought into plain view, but they were so wrapped in their traditions, he was still hid from them. Say now, all that glory hid is hidden for us in Christ the Word, who is our temple. Well, how come he's our temple? I thought we were his. Well, you are because you're baptized into him. You and him and he and you. Oh, now I'm going to have to dig down this a little bit. Excuse me for my emotions this morning, but I wanted so long to give this out. It's just binding it up in me. See, notice, all the glory that is in God is in the Word. Now, you can use that word as logos, or you can use it here in the sense of the Word that's come to life at this time. Now, the question is, what has come to life at this time? If it's come to life, well, there's a certain promise for this hour, which is the message. The message is the promise of the hour. It's brought to the people. Alright, now, what has happened? God has come in his fullness. This again is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, according to Brother Branham. The headship is here. Alright, all the glory that is in God is in the Word. All the blessings that are in God are in the Word. Now, all the glory, all the blessings. It's hid to the unbeliever by traditions. And who's an unbeliever? A man that retains traditions. Actually, he's maybe a make-believer. Who's a believer? Those who get rid of traditions. See what I mean? But it's all in Christ. All that God was, he emptied himself. That's kenosis. And came into Christ. And we into Christ are behind the veil. Well, I'm into Christ, you say. And then believe there's three gods. Baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Believe in all these traditions and things that you believe in of the elders. Now, listen a minute. The Trinitarian does not go along with that. How come the Trinitarian cannot believe the Roman Catholic is telling the truth when the Roman Catholic tells them this is our baptism, we made it up, and history proves it? How come you can get married now in front of the altar, and you're claimed by the Roman Catholic Church as one of the true sons and daughters because you have been baptized correctly? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What's mad at the Protestant? Well, that's a good question. Believe in all these traditions and things that you believe in of the elders? No, you're still behind the veil. What veil? Denominational. Come into the veil. There's another veil. Come into Christ. He is the Word. See? Now remember, they had the wrong veil, and the wrong veil left them wretched, miserable, naked, blind. I don't believe in divine healing. I don't believe in these miracles and things like that. Now, Pentecostals do. But you try to tell them, look, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with a revelation from God and a vindicated ministry. How come you don't believe? Well, they say, we're vindicated too. We got enough to satisfy us. We got enough proof of God. Who needs it? Let's take a look at Matthew 12 and 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Jesus is talking. One greater than your denominations. Your organization. 41:42. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it. Because they repented the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came down from the parts of the earth here, there wasn't Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. What's going to happen, you think, in the day of the Roman Catholic unbelief when Luther rose up? The Roman Catholics are going to stand at the white throne judgment and point their finger in this hour. The people writing this, that heard this message, that don't believe it, won't go with it. And those that had the chance are down, and they're going to say, listen, if we'd have had that, we'd all come out of the Catholic Church. Now, I'm giving you some insight. You people think the white throne judgment, let me tell you, it could take thousands of years for all I know. I don't suppose it will, I don't know. I'd have to check with the prophet. And I don't think Brother Branham said that. But the word in the Greek for millennium is not millennium, it's millennia, which means thousands. And remember, it's after the millennium that the white throne comes on. What if it took a long time? Every single person has his day in court. That's the law, you know. Now, he who never slumbers or gets tired, the judge. He will say, well, I feel tired. 6,000 years have gone by. Doesn't work that way. I don't know how it does work. I can't think because I'm not in that area. But what if it was? But they're going to rise up and condemn this generation. Now, I know they're going to do it because it's right here in the Bible. Because they repented. A lot of them repented. What about the Wesleyans? I feel very sorry for the Pentecostals. I'm glad I'm not one of them anymore. You got to go on where the light moves, you move with the light. Well, you see, you're not on the inside. And the veil you don't know anything about it, see? Christ is the Word. And when you're in the Word, we're in Christ. And how can I be in Christ denying Christ? That's true, see? It was He that said, no, not one word to be taken or added. How can you take from and add to then? Just shows you what veil you has got you veiled away. That's the creeds and dogmas. Now that veil that's got you veiled away becomes a bondage to you. It's like the awl that they put to the ear of the servant that says, I think I'd listen and stay with him. You see? Alright, we in him. Then we being in him, we are still veiled to the religionists and professors of the world. Well, certainly. If he's veiled and you're in him, then you're veiled. You're going to understand. See, our glory that we have and enjoying, we are still veiled to the outsider. What is your glory? The Word. The definitive statements that came to you from the Word. They think we're crazy or not. See, that's right. But we who are in him, in Christ, baptized into him, 1 Corinthians 12, into him, we are partakers of this glory. That's in 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. See? But not on the outside. You're still looking in. Denying it, see? On the outside of what? Christ. Then how can a person be truly baptized with the Holy Ghost? Here's your evidence right here, Brother Van said. How can you be in him and deny him? 243. So now we are invited into him to be partakers of all that he is now. Or that he is. Now, what is he? Then the valley, the roads of Sharon, the judge, the king, the resurrection, the life, immortality, his wisdom, righteousness, peace, all in all is in full view. See? Really, most people just don't understand Isaiah 61, The second verse ends off, to the middle of it, says, to proclaim separately your Lord. That's when he quit. Then he comes on, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So on. You can see here that this is the hour of that second definitive ministry that comes to the Gentiles. Now, how many people believe it? Well, they don't believe it at all. Now we are invited into him to be partakers of all that he is. We are invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. Now, your flesh and the prophets, they know that glory. They read of it. It's in the word here of the glory of God and things like that. But it's just a word to them. There's no manifestation. There's nothing to prove reality of it. To us, it's a manifestation. What manifestation? A prophet with the very simple thing, discernment. Very thing that people say, oh, that's witchcraft. That's a mental telepathy. That's spiritism. That's bad. And they say, you say that's God? Come on. If that's God, he'd do something bigger than that. Well, you name it. Now, find me in the Bible where he said he would do it. So you're always trying to twist God's arm. Now, we're great believers. Hallelujah. You know this. Well, let's face it. You know how it is. I never did hear a tin pan, an old dish pan, sound like a bell. I know, as a kid, I used to, make a drum on one and hopefully think it sounded like a bell, but it sure didn't sound like a bell. Beat on some old iron bed rails, and put them up a certain length and another certain length, and you'd hammer on those things. Man, I had the chimes of the universe and the pipe organ. Oh, the poor dogs in the neighborhood, and the neighbors must have thought, I'd just kill that kid if I get my hands on it. So were the denominations. Something's wrong. God said, let there be light. That was the word. But now there is light. It isn't the word, it's the light. See what I mean? In other words, it's no longer prophecy. It's no longer something that God said. It is now what God is doing. Now, it just isn't written word to us. It's reality. We are in him. Now we are enjoying him. Now we do behold him. Now we see him, the word, manifesting himself. It's hid out there because why? It's veiled in human flesh. The Son of Man revealed. Or they say that bunch of people, where did they go to school? What education do they have? Where did they come from? What group do they belong to? See? They don't get it. Now, that's a speck of bird. You can't identify her. How have you ever tried to identify yourself to anybody? I tried to identify us today without being too identical, too identifying to a man phoning about that Bonanza place over there. Got a hold of him. So we wouldn't be very interested in maybe looking at it for church over there in Sydney. So he asked kind of what we were. I said, I tell you what, pretty hard, I said, to give you any definition. I said, we're kind of more like those that believe in the old Philadelphia Confession of Faith. I said, we're strong predestination like Dr. Pink. I said, we're not really quite hard shell like the Baptist, the old Baptist bunch. But I said, we're pretty tough, I'm pretty tough on that. I said, we're not charismatic. I said, we do believe in gifts. We don't panic. We don't believe there any evidence. I said, we put them in a separate room. If people want to exercise, they've got to come under judgment. And I know just about that time he's sweating, because you can't identify a bunch of birds like us. You say, we're Bible believers. Said, yeah. Then right away they picture that you must belong with them. Say, well, no, we believe in serpent seed. Serpent seed? Very strange. What serpent seed anyway? Why, haven't you heard? See, my, that's tremendous doctrine from way back 400 B.C. and 100,000 years before then. Well, you can't convince them, though. A man said to another man the other day, you have to belong to a denomination to be a Christian. He said, I'm a Christian. I belong to any of them. He said, God took this cancer out of me. Now, what do you think of that? It was a doctor. He said, show me the denomination is doing it. Now, in other words, what denomination had ever authority and power to ever give anybody anything? Well, Oral Roberts might belong to Methodist, but they didn't ever give him any power. He was Pentecost. Pentecost didn't give him any power. I'd like to join some church myself and say, hey, now, I want the authority to heal the sick and cast out devils. And I mean, I want the authority. And don't just lay hands on me and say, go bleed, Brother Dale, and do your best. I want power that when I do it, it is done. You say, well, we can't do that. Certainly not, they can't do that. When God told Brother Branham, that's a different story. It was done. When he said, Moses, you go, that was done. See? That's what they say. That's all past. Is it? Ha! Huh. Well, it is for them. That's their business. It's still there. We're inside of Christ. Now as then, all true believers see him. What kind of believers? True believers see what? Him. Now, if you're a true believer, this doesn't shock you. If you're not a true believer, you got problems, and you don't like this. It gives one person faith and peace and joy. It gives the other person unrest and anger and malice, and he becomes like a king pretty soon. Let's read again. We're inside of Christ. Now, as then, all true believers see him, the word of promise of this day openly manifested. That's a big word if you can get it. The word openly manifested, Elijah shall truly come and restore. The ministry of Jesus Christ shall return to this earth in the form of the Holy Spirit. The Lord himself shall descend from here with a shout, the voice of the archangel, trump of God. See? The Son of Man shall be revealed. The word of promise for this hour. Now, if you believe it, you're fine. If you accept it and you live on it and breathe on it, and this is it. Now, if you're trying to sit on a fence and look down the road and say, well, maybe I could just move, you go, look, you already done moved. In fact, come on. You haven't even got a fence to sit on. No, there's no fence to sit on. It's one side or the other today. It's been declared and manifested. When they said, who is on the Lord's side? Let God be God and Baal be Baal. Who's the real God? Then he sat up and be counted. Oh, they didn't, the Balaamites didn't believe that could happen. They didn't believe that it happened today, and God didn't even give them a choice. Just came on and said, with 244, just blasted right out there. He didn't like it. Son of Man revealed. Openly manifest. In order to do this, our old denomination traditional veil must be rent again. Now he's repeating himself. In order to really see what it is, you've got to come out from among that stuff. See? You'll never do it. They'll keep pulling that veil before you every time. Oh, there's nothing to that. Nothing to what that? Fire, clouds, angels, miracles, his testimony, his discernment. Oh, well, that. But look what he be. Serpents? Oh, come on. Don't tell me that Eve got messed up with that feller. Well, she did. Oh, nothing to that, he said. But here it is written, and here it is made manifest, you see? Now, what's wrong with them? They take their own interpretation from that word the same as Israel did. See? Now what if a fellow refuses to see the sun? Say, oh, I know God said let there be light, but there's no such thing. I'm going down the basement. I refuse to see it. The guy's crazy. Now, that's an example. Something wrong with him. Something wrong if a man or woman can see the promise of God and see it manifested, then refuse to believe it because the denomination pulls the veil down. See, veil. Now, they do that. Let me go to Matthew 13 and 10. Start reading. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? He answered and said, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. All right, now there you got something right there. That's the way Jesus does things. Brother Branham said, so and it's true. For whosoever, now watch this. For whosoever hath the correct revelation, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, doesn't perceive the hour of his day, what's going on, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Your name could go off the book of life, and you end up in the tribulation, things like that. See? Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now that's bad right there. That's a threefold indictment. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, shall not understand, by seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. They say, well, who needs it? What's it all about? I knew a fellow, this man is he's a lovely brother. Just a marvelous fellow. And he said, I have never seen a miracle in my life. And his wife with tuberculosis was sitting before the television set when Oral Roberts says, make a point of contact, touch the television set. And she was instantly healed from tuberculosis right under his eyes, and he'd never seen a miracle. Well, what's he mean a miracle? Oh, well, I have a card here. I will now turn this into $100 bill. That's a trick. That ain't no miracle. Amen. And he jerked from the barker from a, you know, one of those sideshows can do that, where the hand is slicker than the eye. I tell you, this is very accurate. So I'll tell you, if I saw something, I'd see it. Would you? There's a lot of things right now people see that they don't see. And it hasn't got anything to do with the spiritual, which is very, very spiritual. In other words, it's in the in that realm of which is very difficult to apprehend. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, eyes that they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That tells you right there's no such thing as a baptism unless you see this. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that you see, and that's going on right today, and have not seen them, and to hear those things that you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that hears the word in the mouth of joy receiveth. That's your denomination comes along, and no root in the fellow endures for a while. Tribulation comes, persecution arises because the word by and by is offended. That's when the denomination sits in on you. They tried that on me years ago. It didn't work. I walked off. I said, boy, how stupid can these guys get? He also had received seed, he that receives seed among the thorns, and he that hears the word, that cares this word, and receives riches, choke the word, and he comes unfruitful. But he that receives seed unto good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which bringeth forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. Alright? That's far enough. In order to do this, our denomination traditional veils must be broken by God's spirit of fire and sword, which is his word. Now listen carefully to what he said. It's got to be broken by God's spirit of fire and sword, which is his word. Always his word is his sword. See, he took his sword that day full of fire and ripped that veil from top to bottom. He does the same thing with the same sword today. Not my creed, my book of creeds, my catechism, but the sword of the Lord. Remember, he said that's the word of God. Rips the veil down and you see God standing in plain view manifesting his word. And that's the seventh seal, right? The sword in the hand, seventh seal? All right, that's what it is. That's that third pole. What a glorious view to look at. See, all right, God's Holy Spirit and fire, his sword rips it. The word rips the denomination of veil. Sure it does. It ripped it. It tore into it. And proved that this man stood there with thus saith the Lord and had the right to bring the word for the hour. Now that doesn't mean anybody's going to accept him, except the elect. Oh, my. No. Now, what if you just said the word and the word didn't work? What good would the sword be here and say, it can't rip? It won't work. Now, listen, that's it. Now, that's a challenge right there. Denomination can do, but you watch William Branham. But when you lay that sword of God up there and watch her rip, she's held by an ordained hand, only a prophet, sent to do so. See, rips it open, and there he is. There it shows God plainly in view, the great Jehovah. That's Jesus Savior. That is his word made manifest. The portion that's promised to this to the day. Do you get it, see? When the sword promised of the day, in this day, what's supposed to be, and God takes his sword and rips down the denomination veil and pulls it back and manifests himself and shows that he's here. Still that same pillar of fire. Notice, that is the word made manifest for today's promise. There it is right there. That's to be made manifest for today's promise. Now, if he came, you got the word, you do what you want with it. Now, people say, well, I'm looking for something else. I'm looking for nothing except to see that word continue in human beings until a bride gets out of here. Because he said under the seven seals, those thunders gave us everything to put us into the rapture, and this is the seventh seed he's talking about. And that revealed word is that third pull. Sign in the hand, discernment, and now this. Now you can come along with a sign in the hand with discernment, but you try and do that. Now the proof you cannot do that is because you do not have the other vindication goes with it. Because the discernment in itself is not the great thing, it's the thus saith the Lord. So here we are, Hebrews 13 and 8. Now that's a complete new slant on Hebrews 13 and 8. Because Hebrews 13 and 8 until just this hour has been equivalent to Mark 16. Well, there's a degree of you know, reciprocity there, but it's not the whole thing. We see it as did Peter when he said, Lord, to whom would we go after seeing this? Where'd we go? What church could we join when we're born in one? See? Now, I want to stop a second. The battle is between God in a prophet and denominations. Now, someone might say, well, I think the battle is sin. I'm sorry, you're just sort of begging around. Because the denominations are full of unbelief, so therefore they're full of sin, and so you don't go and battle unbelief. You battle the perpetrator. Right? What else can you do? You know, so I'm going to judge that act of adultery. Oh, gosh, you judge the guy that did it. I'm going to judge the act of murder. You hang the guy that did it. So, what we're talking about? Unbelief, denominations. So, the fight is between denominations and the prophet, between denominations and God. Therefore, the denomination is Antichrist. It is anti-word. The denomination is Antichrist and is the foe of Christ. They are the champion of sin. I said a while ago, I'd bring you to it. Talk about Sodom. The church championed sodomy. They championed the homosexual. They ordained women preachers. You say, well, not all. It doesn't have to be all. They'll get there. Why, not too long ago, it was a Lutheran church, I think, I'm not sure, Methodist or somebody. They had a woman come in there and she danced nude before all the people. Well, they said, that is fine. She's a lady preacher. I knew they'd come to that. Women preachers, I can't stand. How do I get mad or vomit or both? I'm not quite sure, but some of them might just, something begins almost buzzing my head. Terrible anger. She was a woman preacher. And so she did her new impressionistic dance to glorify God. They teach sectionary rotten perversion. There's always some church or many churches you can find that teach the lowest rotten depth of sin. And they try to cover up by nice, nice, nice. Who needs nice? Amen. You know that nice stuff is? That's the same baloney. They said, be you warmed and fed, and notwithstanding gave nothing for the stomach and nothing for the back. Just, oh, bless you, my child. Be you warmed and fed. And he had all kinds of money. Like the Pope one day went down the street and he said, well, we're sure not like old Peter and James and John when they went to the gate beautiful and said, silver and gold have we none. And the fellow said, yes, and neither do you have your power. They're the champion of every rotten sin in the book. Who champions sin and corruption? The church. Why? They're not just one word off, they're all off. See, what? What could you? What denomination could you join after knowing this truth? When everyone deny it. Every one of them. Haven't got a one that'll say a good thing for it. That's right. That doesn't say one man is the one denomination. Your mind's going to slip right there and say one man. Didn't say one man, he said one denomination. Right. Amen. I started off on one of these trips down here. That's going down to Alabama. Birmingham. 42 churches in one place were the sponsors. When I got there, I had none. Everyone said, he believes in eternal security. That left the legalist, though. One said, he baptized in Jesus' name. That left the rest, though. One said, he believes in serpent seed. The serpent has no seed. But the Bible said, I'll put enmity between her seed and serpent seed. See? The veil's been lifted off the word. See, that's right. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. If the denominational veil was attacked with a sword, you better believe they got enough swords to fight back with. Fire with fire, sword with sword, gun with gun, flood with flood, you bet. Money with money. But they'll never outdo the power of God. I don't care what they do. We shall overcome. They said that, but they're wrong. See, that's it. The veil's been lifted off the word. See, that's right. It's revealed to babes, such as will learn. See? It's lifted. They, the babe, see it. There will be as one said, that's right. And then it will be as one said, when you see. When this veil is taken off the word, the traditions are taken off the word. As Jesus once said, when you see me, you see the Father. See? In other words, you see this, you'll see God. What you're seeing now is a complete manifestation, a revelation, the Son of Man. Right down the line, see? See, God and His Word are one. Now you understand? When the Word is manifested, what is it? See? Jesus said, search the Scriptures, you think you have. You believe in God, believe also in me. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. If I do the works, I am my Father one. When you see me, you've seen the Father. See? Now, what does it mean there? I said, look, why don't you just stop? Well, there's evidently something that's come up in the realm of an argument. Something that's come up that's disquieting, and you just don't see it. Why don't you just stop and look at all of this? Just stop and look it over. And stop long enough till you come to a real definitive understanding according to the Word. In other words, look at your side, look at my side, let's go to the Word, let's see what we can see. Because there's something in here that's too great. Man cannot do this of his own, there is no way. No, sir, something wrong, he said. You better watch, but they won't do it. And when you see the Word made manifest, you see the Father, God, because the Word is the Father, the Word is God. Alright, when you see the Word made manifest, you see the prophet, God. For the prophet is God. See? When you see these miracles done, you see the great miracle doer, the great healer, you see Jehovah. Why? Because it's a perfect manifestation. He's bringing it to pass. And the Word made manifest is God Himself taking His own Word and manifesting it among believers. Didn't say it in believers, said among them. Nothing can make it live but believers, just believers. Nothing can make it live. Tells you that fact. What kind of believer is it? Brother Branham hadn't gone any place yet. He said, that's what he told me. I will go before kings and there'll be a worldwide revival. Or they said, you gotta be crazy. You haven't got a good education. He said, that's what he told me. He's a believer. That's why he spoke with the assurance he did. Abraham never had his assurance, but is persuasion of faith. Utter persuasion until 25 years later. See? Just believers make it live. You can take wheat and plant it. Different kind of soil never grow. But it's got to have certain fertilizer in the ground to raise wheat. And if the wheat isn't germatized to that fertilizer, it'll never grow. So no matter where the word falls, if it doesn't fall in the right kind of a heart, see, it won't grow. Jesus said so. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell stony ground. I read that to you. Fowls here came fed of it. He said some fell in thorns thistles. Choked right up, right away. Denominations. Careth the world children. But some went over in good ground and brought forth a hundredfold. That's the kingdom of God. What was it? They believed it all. You see? They received what was presented. Israel turned down the manna. Couldn't get in. Died. Didn't have the strength to carry over. No, sir. You better watch it. It's the same thing, see? Some will believe it all. Some won't believe it all. Some will believe it a little while, like disciples. They followed it, many of them. 70 followed him a year to find out, about a year and a half, 2 years, just to find out if they could find something in him. Like some way, at some part, to do these things, or like a rabbit foot in a cistern of some sort. What he could do to produce these things, Pentecost did that with Brother Branham. How he could know what was in the people's hearts and what they were thinking, they finally found out that he said he'd come down from heaven. He was the Word himself. And when they did that, that was too much for them. They said, no man could understand this. And they walked away from him. That's those that fell among thorns. How many people, Brother Branham said, for the prophets, is God to the people? How many could take that? How many could stand up on the vindication, thus saith the Lord? Not very many, come on. It brings back to the same thing. In every congregation, you've got make believers, unbelievers, believers. It's in every congregation. You find them at all times. Some of them make out like they're believers. That's the worst type. Then there are those that actually are unbelievers. They won't bother you. They'll just walk away and shake the head. But those who make believe say they're believers, that's the kind. That's the kind you have to watch are those make believers. And then there's some genuine believers. See? There's three there. He's talking of his own ministry and his effects. There were the unbelievers. As soon as he said, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, oh man, that was it. The other was a make-believer. They stayed till like Judas, right to the end. Then the real believers, they couldn't explain it, but they believed it anyhow, and they went on through. There's lots of stuff we can't believe, but we receive it, and we do believe it thereby. The veil of tradition of unbelievers is taken away, and then you see God. When the veil of tradition has been removed, you can see that God is still God of His Word. He still keeps His Word. He's the God, the author of His Word that is hid behind skin veil to others. Yes, that is right. To those who cannot go behind the veil, He's still behind skin veils. What's He behind? The prophet's veil. The people can't see it. See? Alright. Notice. Then we become part of Him as you are the veil that veils Him. Now see, that's to us, like I said before. You are part of Him as long as Christ is in you. As Christ was of God. Because God was in Him, made Him God. And as Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you become part of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, works that I do shall he do also. See, you become part of Christ as long as Christ is hid in you. Then it's veiled to the unbeliever, but you know he is in you. You are tempering Christ behind the veil of the skin. Then we become behind because of this veil, this disjointed feature. The veil again in human flesh hides God the Word from the unbeliever. Or the true seed, you see, he gets the revelation. As it is written, see written, you are written epistles. The Bible said, now what is an epistle? It's a written word. You are the written. In other words, you read it like this. You are written epistles, or you are the word that has been written made manifest. Nothing can be added to it. You can't say I'm a written epistle and living some other kind of a something but what this has already written, because nothing can be added or taken away. Paragraph 273. Everyone always come to me and said, Brother Branham, those seven thunders that the voice thundered and said, write it not, but close it up. And said, that'll be seven thunders that'll be revealed in the last day. See? Seven thunders that'll tell us. Now, doesn't that sound real good? See, but watch what you're talking about when you say that. He said, see, that you write it not. See? The seven thunders out of their voices. See? And he said, don't write that. See? But it's to be sealed up in the book until the last day. Now, someone has been many times in saying to me, a theologian said, Brother Branham, the Lord God said it with your experience that the Lord has given you for the people, humbly saying this, you'd be eligible to write a Bible yourself. Your word that God has manifested. Now, he said, that might be true. See, he was trying to catch me, see? And I said, but you see, I couldn't do that. Now, you see, you've got the same thing here in the parallel ministry that Brother Branham is tested like Jesus. They come and say, well, why don't you do this, see? Well, it's always the same thing. They want a sign that isn't there for that hour. That's human nature always wants what he's not supposed to have. He just can't have that. Well, they said, you got all the qualification. I said, but look, one word cannot be added or taken away, see? And he said, well, then said those seven thunders. You see, wouldn't those seven thunders blasting out, won't that be a revelation to be given to some man? I said, no, sir. He'd be adding something to it or taking something from it. It's all revealed in there, and the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. Now, notice he's telling you it's opened it up. You don't have to ask anymore. It's been done. And it wasn't done by the method that people thought it would be done. It was an exposition of the Word of God that lay here for this hour. The finishing up of the unfinished and bringing to light what was necessary. Now, he's still the Word, you see. You can't get out of that Word. It won't leave the Word, and God's Spirit will never leave that Word. It'll stay right with the Word, blinding some and open the eyes of others. It will always do that. So what a hope we have now. This is a completed Word. Just don't worry about it. Don't go thinking your too far thoughts out. Don't try to figure. If something comes to you, just say, well, that's great. I praise the Lord for the prophet's word, and I'm beginning to see it. You are written epistles, read of all men. You translate that, turn around this way. See, just turn around. You are epistles that's been written, because you can't add anything to it. This read of all men, manifested word of God. In other words, and Peter and John, to show it, when they went up there, they perceived they're ignorant and unlearned. They had no education, but they took notice of the men of Jesus. See, they're ignorant and unlearned. They're written epistles, see, read the men of Jesus, because Jesus was manifesting himself through them. Christ veiled in their flesh, manifested, made alive, like he was in Moses. Now, that's very fine for prophets and great people. What about little people like us? Well, he just said, live godly, do the best you can, you know, serve the Lord, stay with the Word here, see? And there's a life in it. Like women, he said, you just serve your families, your husbands, you've got a ministry right there, you'll get rewarded. To those that have other offices, he said, the wife is a part of the ministry, things like that. It's just, you know. All right, when the Word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. That's right. When the Word is in Moses, he was God to be. When it was in Jesus, it was God in flesh, see? So therefore, God was in the flesh of Moses, God is in the flesh of Christ. Only thing he did was change his mask, not his word. Not his nature. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He only changed his form. He changed from Noah to Moses. From Moses to David. From David. Not to Joseph, because Joseph predated David. Then he just used a Joseph. On down till he came to the fullness of God in bodily. See? It's still the same God. Amen, amen. I hope that gets through. Now you see, there's the real sticker right now. And it doesn't need to be, because we might not have all the answers. But there's all the argument will then come up. How much of God is in the prophet? Brother Branham said the fullness of God in bodily. In the last hour. Say, well, I believe that's all the Holy Spirit poured into the bride. Well, that's through all the ages. It's come up to headship again. All that was in God, he poured into Christ. Christ pours into a bride. Or does that diminish Christ? Is he no longer head? I thought Christ was the head of the bride. Head of the church. How can you be head and body at the same time? No, it's the life that's in the body, but head is head. Church never was head. Christ never was in the church. No, sir. It's in the Word. He's in the Word. The Word he gives via the Word, the conduit, he puts in a bride. Show me where the bride ever takes headship. Can't do it. That's what some people got all lushed up when they said, Brother Branham used the term, he said the pastor is a spiritual husband of the church. Oh my, some preachers really ran with that one. I said, now just a minute. When I said, he also said to the church, he said, church be subject to pastor, pastor be subject to church. I said, when was the male subject to the woman at any time? He said, you better watch all your metaphors and everything else. He said, get them all together. Brother, you're some husband you are, you've got to bow down to the woman. He wasn't saying what they thought he was saying. Just like a lot of bunch of them run around and say, well, Brother Branham said, the pastor's ordained to see you through. Come and sit under me, or come and bring the money. Fap, if you think I'm ordained to see you through, you're nuts. I can't see anybody through. I'm like Harold Marcondes. If there's one pastor who'd come and tell me he was ordained and can prove it, I'd go there right now and make sure I got there. What's the word mean? He absolutely is commanded of God to do something for you to help you get there. Not that you help him live high on the hog and everything else. That's a lot of hogwash. He's supposed to be a servant. Not that I'm any too good a character, but I bring these things out. If I cut my own throat, that's fine. My blood can be shed the same as anybody else's. You still God in there and hope that gets through, see? Same God, he just takes another veil. Now listen, he did it in the Reformers, took on a veil, until finally it come down through the Lutheran age. What was the veil? That was the word, reforming. A little bit. Not a prophet. Finally comes out into the complete. All in all. Comes up to your body. Word upon word. Full manifestation. The whole thing. Just before it comes, now listen, just before it comes, a prophet arises again. Couldn't be through reformers. No siree, no way. Got to come right up this way. All right. When it does, it foreshadows the word. Showing back there, revealing what's been done. What's been left off. I'm telling you, we preach the church ages. See? Not without understanding. Then when this fades out, then like John said, I must decrease, he must increase. Then all in all comes into him. He's fully manifested through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost age, and on down, he's fully manifested. You see, come on down, just a manifestation, God in fullness. See, now notice, fulfilled in his promise for this day as they had. Now Moses was the word that day, because the word was given to him for that day, Moses. Joseph was the word to his day, portraying Christ exactly. See, each one of them was the word. Now what was William Branham? Our the Son of Man. The complete ministry. See, bring the word out. Then Jesus came. He was the word in his fullness because the whole plan of redemption laid in him. The whole plan of redemption didn't lie in Moses, didn't lie in Joseph, didn't lie in Elijah. See, they were only part of the word, pointing to it. See, now notice, keep your thought. Here it comes, as I say. See, the whole plan wasn't in them. They were pointing to it. Therefore, after him, the fullness. We cannot point to something else. It points back to him, the word. This is the complete revelation. Nothing can be added or taken away from him. But if that's the complete revelation, then it's got to fully manifest and reveal Christ. Every single thing that was wrong is put in order. Everything that needs to be added or sealed up in there is put to it. And there you have the complete word, the complete revelation. And you have the complete Holy Spirit. There's the complete revelation. And all that is shadow of him to come. When he came, he was the perfect. God in sundry times spoke to the Father through prophets. He's right back to the prophet again. God spoke through veils of prophets, but in his last days through his Son, Jesus Christ. There you are. Unveiled out there on Calvary, the Son of God unveiled. Notice, made alive. And today, when the Word is manifested in human vessels, veils, it's absolutely the Word fulfilled in that day which comes back to God. Being baptized in Him, according to 1 Corinthians 12, we become identified with Him. He's telling you right there, the whole thing is there's no more to be baptized into Christ. The last one's coming in this hour. You've got the full Word. You've got the full revelation. God Himself on the scene. What more does a person want? There it is right there. There it is right there, the whole thing. The manifesting, see? Now, I had said a half an hour, but I can have a little more. Is it tapering out? About 1 minute. Okay, page 43. I don't know if we might make this up next Sunday. I'm not sure. All right, but notice, how many Americans... No, I'm going to leave that right there. Just read this here again. Notice, made alive, and today when the Word is manifested in human vessels, veils, it's absolutely the Word fulfilled in that day, which comes back to God, being baptized into Him, according to 1 Corinthians 12. In other words, now, what all has happened, everything that came in this hour, is for you and me. In other words, that word we receive, there we find our totality in Him. and is now separated not from